I join with Keith in welcoming you today. It's a privilege to be among the finest people on earth. The Lord's people, we're glad you're here. We have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. I'm excited to be back with you after being away in gospel work in Tupelo, Mississippi. Appreciate the fact that the Lord has kept us all safe and brought us back together, and thankful for the good work that was done while I was away. A special thanks to those who taught the classes and preached the sermons. Good to be back with you. Encourage you to get your Bible and open its pages and search the scriptures with us this morning. 2 weeks ago, I did a little series of lessons that I called Kind of Parents Children Need and Kind of Children Parents Need. I want to approach the home from a little different angle today as we talk about the kind of husbands wives need. And then, Lord willing, this afternoon we'll talk about the kind of wives husbands need, as somebody thought they might need a little talking to as well. As you pick up your Bible and begin to read and to study, you begin to appreciate how that when God made them male and female at the beginning, He made provision for the man as husband. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 2, Paul said, "Let every woman have her own husband." What kind of husband do you think a wife needs? I want to explore that with you. And as we make our way through the Bible and we talk about the kind of husbands wives need, you might like to ask yourself, and I'll ask myself the question, am I that kind of husband? As you make your study of kind of husbands wives need, may I suggest to you, first of all, that wives need husbands who leave and cleave unto them. I take us back to the beginning book in the Genesis chapter 2. When God on the sixth day of creation, upon forming man of the dust of the ground and breathing in his nostrils the breath of life, he for the first time said, "Something is not good." You remember what that was? "It is not good that the man should be alone." And so God provided for man's loneliness or need of companionship in the home. He put the man to sleep and performed a little operation in removing a rib from his side, and with the rib that God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, as recorded in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now listen to verse 24. "Therefore, or for this cause, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife." You might underscore the words leave and cleave. I recommend to us that wives need husbands who leave and cleave. A problem in some marriage relationships is the failure on the part of the man to leave and cleave. There's got to be the cutting of those apron strings. And this passage points out the permanence of this relationship as he says leave and cleave. In addition to that, may I recommend to us from Psalm 128 that wives need husbands who make them as a fruitful vine. As a fruitful vine, what's that about? Well, read with me in Psalm 128, beginning in verse 1. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." That's where the idea comes from. Psalm 128:3, about wives needing husbands who make them as a fruitful vine. How do you as a husband, how do I as a husband, make our wives as fruitful vines when we fear the Lord and walk in His ways? Wives need those kind of husbands. Husbands who are dedicated to fearing the Lord. And that means to have respect for Him, to stand in awe of Him because of who He is, because of what He's done, because of His great power and what He's capable of doing. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments. When Peter preached to Cornelius, he said, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10:34-35. When we fear the Lord, we'll walk in his ways. The wise man said that those who walk in their own ways or follow a way that's right in their own eyes, walk in the way of a fool. Wives need husbands who see the importance of walking in his ways because his ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55:8-9. Not only do wives need husbands who leave and cleave unto them and who make them as a fruitful vine, but wives need husbands who entreat the Lord for them. Come with me back to the beginning book in Genesis chapter 25 and take note of the statement that is made in verse 21 with reference to Isaac, one of the patriarchs. The record says, Isaac entreated the Lord. Remember the rest of that? For his wife. You ever do that? Do you entreat the Lord for your wife? He was entreating the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And when he entreated the Lord for his wife, the Bible says the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. As a husband, you need to be praying for your wife. And so do I. Pray that the Lord will bless them with good health and length of days. That things will be well with them. How long has it been since you entreated the Lord for your wife? Furthermore, wives need husbands who love them. In Genesis 29 and verse 32, it is said of Leah that she conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben. Remember what she said? Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Here's a wife who needed a husband who loved her. And I recommend to us that every wife needs a husband who loves her, as the Bible teaches. Wives need husbands who love them as Christ loved the church. In God's church letter, the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, when Paul talked about Christ and the church and used the marriage relationship to illustrate truths about that, he said, husbands, love who? Your wives. How? How's a husband to love his wife, Paul? Even as Christ also loved the church. How much did he love the church, Paul, and gave himself for it? We need husbands who love their wives as much as Christ loved the church, willing to give themselves for their wives. And then in verse 28, wives need husbands who love them as their own bodies. As he added, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Wives need husbands who nourish and cherish them, don't they? And in verse 33, he said, so love his wife even as himself. Wives need husbands who love them. How long has it been since we told our wife we loved her? Don't be like the husband whose wife said, do you love me? And he said, why, yeah, I love you. I told you that the day I married you. And if anything changes about that, I'll let you know. Wives need to know that they're loved, need to be told. Don't you like to hear that from your husband? I love you. I care about you. How often do we do that, to let our wives know that we love them, that we cherish them? We need to tell them that. But it's not enough to just say that, is it? Love is known by the actions it prompts. Little things can go a long way in demonstrating to a wife how much she's loved. You ever bring her some flowers? Take her out for dinner? Help her with some of the household chores, sweeping and washing some dishes? Just want you to know how much I love you, how much I appreciate you. You do so much. In Colossians 3:19, Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Wives do not need husbands who are bitter against them. And some husbands have lost their wives, sadly, because they've been bitter and failed to love them as the Bible teaches. In addition to that, as you make your list today of the kind of husbands wives need, I recommend from the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 that wives need husbands who are faithful to them. There's a real problem in our society today with unfaithfulness. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 and 2, Paul said, "It is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." In chapter 10 and in verse 11, Paul said, "Let not the wife depart from her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." There are those who need to learn and make application of those words, "Every man have his own wife," and how Adam said, "Leave and cleave unto his wife." Wives need husbands who are faithful to them. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 32, wise Solomon declared, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Furthermore, as you make your study of the kind of husbands wives need husbands who render due benevolence to them. Picking up in 1 Corinthians 7 with verse 3, Paul penned, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And he said, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." A failure on the part of husbands to hear and heed these instructions have led to lots of marital problems down through the years. Wives need husbands who practice that. But also, wives need husbands who are the head of them. Back to Ephesians 5 in Paul's discourse. He said in verse 23, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." This concept of the husband being the head goes back a long way. It's as old as the first home. The home at the beginning was designed to be a husband-headed relationship. When in Genesis 3 and verse 16, unto the woman, God said, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." A wife does not need a husband who's too timid to accept his God-given heading responsibility. Wives need husbands like Abraham, concerning whom God said in Genesis 18:19, "I know him." You remember what God knew about Abraham? "He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Every wife needs a husband like faithful Abraham. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, we would do well to appreciate the divine order of things when the Apostle Paul talked about the head of every woman is the man. He said, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." And so the divine order is God, Christ, man, and then woman. And there are those who fail to respect that, fail to appreciate that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 12, Paul said that a woman is not permitted to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? Why is the man to be the head? Why is a woman not to usurp authority over the man? Two reasons, basically. Adam was first formed, then Eve. That is because of the order of creation. And secondly, in verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression because of the first sin. When two people ride a horse, somebody has to sit in front, right? And God has ordained that the man sit in front, if you please, when you think about the husband being the head of the wife. Wives need husbands who are the head, even as Christ is the head of the church. That doesn't mean that they rule like some kind of an iron-fisted dictator. But you get a good picture of that rule, husband rule, and you think about the relationship that Christ has with his people. Wives need that kind of husband. And then as I made my study of the kind of husbands wives need husbands who provide for them. In 1 Timothy 5, when Paul wrote about the evangelist maintaining proper relationships with different ages of people, treating an elder as a father, younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, and younger as sisters with all purity, he talked about honoring widows. And in the context of this honoring widow discussion, he said, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You show me a man that does not provide for his own, I'll show you one the Bible says is worse than an infidel. That is, he's worse than a non-believer. Because even non-Christians provide for their own. And there are those who are too lazy to work, to provide. And yet the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians 4:28. And Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 concerning those who become busybodies, working not at all, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You take a few husbands' plates and break them. It might move some more husbands to get up, to get out, and to work, to provide. And there are some who are going without and who are neglected because of laziness on the part of some husbands. Husbands who provide for them are the kind of husbands wives need. But also, from this book, I come to appreciate that wives need husbands who dwell with them. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter said, likewise ye husbands. I need to pay attention to that as a husband, don't I? But what's he have to say to me as a husband? Dwell with them, that is, your wife, according to knowledge. You might like to underscore in your Bible as a husband, dwell with them. He speaks of the domestic association of husband and wife. They're living together as partners. God intended for marriage to be a partnership. And that involves dwelling together. Wouldn't that be implied when Adam said, leave and cleave unto his wife? One of the problems with some marriages, one thing that contributes to the breakdown of many marriages, is a failure on the part of husbands and wives to dwell together. Too many are like two ships passing in the night. They have different schedules. And he may be in Timbuktu, and she who knows where, and there's very little time spent dwelling together. And so the husband doesn't know his wife, the wife doesn't know her husband. They get to know other people, and problems begin to develop as a failure on the part of husbands to dwell with them. A good little principle from the book of Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5, that when a man had taken a new wife, he was to be free at home 1 year. Remember that? The Bible often stresses togetherness in marriage. Dwell with them according to knowledge. How well do you know your wife? How well does she know you? We need to plan and spend some time together, don't we? Take some walks together. Do you eat together? Or are we too busy? Spend time together as a husband and wife. Some are so busy. They've got all these activities going on, and then the kids are grown up and they're gone, and you got two people that don't know each other. What are we going to do with each other? Because they didn't spend time dwelling together. But then as I thought about this subject, husbands, wives need. There was one other one I want to share with you. And that is, wives need husbands who honor them. In verse 7, as he talked about dwelling with them according to knowledge. You remember the rest of that? giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. As a husband, we talked about entreating the Lord. That's a praying husband. And Paul said that he would that men everywhere pray. You ever wonder, does God hear my prayer? Is God going to grant my request? Will He answer my prayer? You know what that hinges on, in part? Whether or not we honor our wife. If I dishonor her, if I have disrespect for her, if I don't properly honor and value her, you know what happens? It hinders my prayer. I ought not expect God to hear or answer my prayer if I'm not a wife-honoring husband. And we show honor for them by the way that we talk to them and talk about them. It's sad when there are some husbands who try to make themselves look better at the expense of their wife. They'll tear her down or demean her. There are those who will make their wife the brunt end of their joke. And that's sad. We need husbands who honor their wives, who value them. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 31, when wise Solomon talked about the virtuous woman, remember what said in verse 28? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Look at these last words. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You ever praise your wife? You do that before others? Praise her. Wives need husbands who praise them, who value them, who honor them. And may we never show dishonor or disrespect by what we say to them, about them, or the things that we do. And as I pick up and scan these pages, and I look at the kind of husbands wives need, can I check all these off? Can you as a husband? Am I the kind of husband my wife needs? And as I get to studying and I look in the mirror of God's Word and I see myself as a husband, I might see some changes I need to make. Maybe I've not been the kind of husband my wife needs. What would you suggest I do about that? Would you suggest that I make some changes? That I talk to my wife and say, I'm sorry, I've not been the kind of husband you need, the kind of husband that God would have me to be. And I want to correct that. I've not honored you as I should. I've not showed the kind of love that I need to. And there'd be others that we need to work on. And I want to do better. I value you. I appreciate you. And so if we see any changes that we might need to make, may we make those changes. That we'll be the kind of husbands our wives need. The kind of husbands that God intended us to be, that our home may be happy and blessed. But before we leave, we'd like to give you an opportunity to become married to the Lord. The Lord used the husband-wife relationship to illustrate the spiritual relationship He sustains with His people. In Romans 7:4, Paul talked about being married to another, that is to Christ. We do that as we hear His Word, believe it with all of our heart, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and are baptized. And as we take the Lord's hand and pledge our faithfulness to Him, may we be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you've not yet been married to Christ, now is the time. We'll take you, we'll baptize you. You can come up out of the waters as a part of the bride of Christ. If you become married to Christ, but you become unfaithful, the Lord stands with outstretched arms ready to receive you back if you'll repent and ask for His forgiveness. We'll pray with you and for you as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?